Hey, beautiful humans. Today's episode sounds like bliss because we're chatting about the many shapes of wanderlusting. Say hello to that exhale and to those goosebumps and to that moment of truth or beauty or generosity. Here we will explore struggles and celebrations and devotions, the stuff that life's made of. There will be deep thoughts, interrupted often by belly laughs, because that's also how life works. Some spoken word because, you know, sometimes nothing says it quite like a poem. Conversations with friends, new and old, and soul riffs straight out of my noggin and my heart and into your headphones. I am your host, Tara, and you're listening to Sounds Like Bliss. Welcome. Welcome back, friends. How you doing? By the time you listen to this, well, for those of you joining in as live as possible, we're going to be in June 2019. Holy smokes. And to all of you listening from the future, well, g'day. How are ya? I am traveling a lot right now, and I wanted to take today's episode to speak for a moment about my relationship to travel as something that I'm engaged in, as something that I'm always adapting to, because travel is taking up so much space in my heart and in my life right now. And because it is a cause for much inquiry, and because travel is always highlighting where my energy's at, how my body's feeling, the state that my nervous system is in, what's important to me. It brings into focus what I need to prioritize. Today, as I often do here, and let me be clear, I am super aware that Sounds Like Bliss is not for everyone. I am super aware that my voice can put people to sleep. I am super aware that the way that I amble on about things is not palatable to everyone. And that's why you're my people. And that's why I love that we have this space where I'm going to show up here today and I am going to just talk about travel with no goal in mind. I just want nice sounds to make their way into your headphones or through the speakers in your car. And I hope that I can just take you on a little journey and you don't need to learn anything and you don't need to better yourself, but you can just come along with me and hear some stories and hear how I metabolize the experience of what has become a life filled with a lot of travel. And I also know that that's not for everybody. It's something that I choose into because I believe it's a blueprint of my soul. I feel this deep desire to see things, places, people. And I know that a lot of you listening don't have that, that your biggest desire is to spend more time with your family, you know, and to stay rooted and grounded. And I think that that's so beautiful. And I certainly love hearing stories about how people are creating that life for themselves in alignment with their soul. This is a big thing for me though, and I'm really grateful all the time that I am able to do this, and I'm grateful for my body, which tells me where my limits are. I'm grateful for the ability to be able to adapt. Travel teaches me, again, so much about what I'm capable of, but also about the unlived. It opens up an aspect of humanity to me that I would never be able to reconcile or witness if I were to stay in one place. So traveling alone, traveling in company, traveling for business, traveling for sheer pleasure, and what self-care whilst traveling really looks like for me. I think this is what we'll explore today. In England last year, in the company of friends, I laughed so much. I received in those interactions permission to dream again, to desire love again. I was healing a broken heart, and that healing came through laughter. I surrendered into the beautiful cacophony of rapturous delight of laughing so damn hard I thought I would lose bodily functions. You know what I mean. And then I hired a car and I drove off, and it was almost like I was flying the nest. I left this beautiful, safe, funny bone bubble of friendship, and suddenly I was driving through sacred sites in the English countryside, Tintagel Castle, St. Nectan's Glen. I stopped in at Glastonbury, and I was meant to be there for 3 days, but that turned into 10. And the ripple of laughter and glee was replaced with stillness and sensitivity. And I felt, because I could feel myself not merged with others, but individuating again. I felt deeply. I felt feelings. And I cried. Oh, I cried. Because I felt me, and I felt free, and because I felt alone, and because I was in the unknown. I walked into Glastonbury Abbey, and I'll never forget it, but with no agenda. I ended up meditating for hours on the grass. I climbed the Tor and I sat up there in a patch of sunshine, and I felt the rumble of the land beneath me. I went to the Magdalene Chapel, and on my knees, I whispered into a candle flame, "Please help me forgive." In Lake Como, immersed in a trip of a lifetime, eating gelato with friends, riding in vintage cars along the coast, running our hands through cashmere, and getting leather sandals assembled around our feet by artisans. Beauty was in the air. Adventure, lushness, Italiano lushness. Memories were made and conversations went places and unexpected connections were woven over breakfast. And then afterwards, I jumped on a train and solo headed to Florence, Firenze, walking the cobbled roads with smug joy painted across my face, feeling the summer sun on my shoulders. Imagining all the poems I could write in these bloody buildings. Falling in love with the iconic Aperol Spritz. Oh yeah, so good. Continues to be a love fest of mine. Cramping my calf muscles and collecting blisters with all the walking. That time that I gulped down half a bottle of Chianti at lunch. Oh, it accompanied a big bowl of gnocchi, and I licked every last skerrick of that from my fingers before wobbling back out to the street with absolutely nowhere to go, and it was all just feeling so perfect. I bought prosciutto and burrata and local olive oil and focaccia, and I created platters for myself. And then I remember laughing inwardly at myself in this whole picture, thinking, well, this looks wildly familiar, a little eat, pray, lovish, perhaps. Ubud, Bali, 2013, and I'm there with 13 others, but we're all there with a purpose. Some of us are there to write books, some screenplays. We share meals together. We decompress from our writing sessions with yoga classes and nighttime strolls down the street, but otherwise we are cocooned by our projects, exploring the vast terrain of our interiors as we try and get out of our way and bring forth art. It is excruciating and it is exquisite. And I just have this memory of tears falling down my face as my fingers tapped at my keyboard in that cafe near the yoga barn. And I don't know if I was crying because what I was writing was healing me so deeply, or because I knew that I was going to all of this effort to get this story out, to write down this narrative. And I knew that all of this effort would never eventuate to anything in my hands because it would never end up published in my book. I was probably crying for both. My friends, I love wanderlusting with others, and my God, do I love wanderlusting solo. Treading this earth in the company of others, it seems to me like it amplifies the memory. There's more laughter, there's more sound, there's shared experiences, you know, just to be in the one spot with someone, breathing with someone, to share that moment of a collective heartbeat, to be looking at the same sunset, to be delighting in the same meal or bottle of wine, to be actually in some of the photos that get taken. I mean, I don't know if you're anything like me. I definitely prefer Mother Nature to take up most of that shot, but to be in some of the photos whilst you travel is kind of nice. Allowing yourself to be swept up by the commotion of connection. Your company is always mirroring something back at you, always, because that's what relationships do, right? So there is always more to discover about yourself when you're with another human, especially if it's in a location unfamiliar. But by myself, in the space of my own company, something happens. I can feel the land. I can hear her. I am sensitive to the stories woven through her. Traveling alone always helps me to collect pieces of myself from the places and spaces and foods and cultures I experience. It feels like everything is communication when you're by yourself. Your thoughts can behave as dear friends. They linger close by. You can hear them properly. You can love yourself tenderly when there's not so much noise around. My meditations, uninterrupted and with nowhere to be or nobody to be around, they can take me to new places. My journals become bruised by my incessant scribbling because clarity can find me in unexpected ways that bring me awe, and I am more drawn to the sanctity of a sacred site than what I would be with another close by me. I go and I flow and I truly drift in the breeze when it's just me. Regardless, I always want to walk away from a trip abroad feeling as though I've made new friends or that I've deepened friendships, that I've also deepened my connection to myself and the land, broadened my scope of humanity and been plain stupefied by the earth's beauty. And that's the easy part. I want to be left breathless, also very easy if I'm paying attention to what's going on. I want stomach cramps from laughing. I want to remember with deep reverence what my role is in this big, beautiful ecology. And travel always pulls that out of me. And of course, I want to return home feeling cared for, feeling as though I have cared for myself. Travel is not a time or excuse for me to abandon myself. No, and if I'm careful, that's what will happen naturally. So self-care is absolutely critical, but it doesn't necessarily look like what you may think. I could bang on here about infrared saunas and essential oils and dietary choices and supplementation and morning routines you can travel with and all the gadgets you can take with you to, you know, represent a semblance of home. I could do that. All of these constituents that bring about a sense of body balance, you know, but maybe that's for another time. Instead, what I'll do to close out this episode is I will chat to you about travel self-care on an energetic soul level, if that's okay with you. You know, this is a different conversation. It goes beyond things to apply, things to eat, things to do. Necessarily. It's going into the energetics of it, remembering that actually everything's energy anyway. So if we can come at the problem on the level of energy, then maybe we have a chance at creating order and balance. So my mentor, Hiro Boga, she's always really quick to remind me that, Tara, your body is not meant to hurtle through space as quickly as it does, as often as you do. And indeed, a lot of the work I do with Hero is around centering my energy again, because I'm constantly on the move and because I'm often at big events with all of the humans, these full travel schedules, big personalities. It requires attention to bring that energy back in. Because here's the thing, my friends, we leave our energy everywhere. We leave it everywhere and we don't even know it. And so oftentimes when you come back, this is a big clue as to why you may feel wiped after a big event, is you've simply left your energy all over that room and with all those humans and in every interaction you've had. And so really learning this and applying some skills in this arena has been so freeing to me, and I'm not perfect at it, but I love that I have this skill set and I can practice it as often as I remember. So here's what she's prescribed to me to help me feel as balanced as possible whilst I travel. And I really wanted to share it with you because I think this is golden. Number one is, whilst I'm on a plane, is to actually just start to tune into the land that I'm visiting. Just to tune into the land, to say hello, to introduce myself as I would to a person, and to say, I'm coming and I can't wait to meet you. And just enter into a relationship with that. Isn't that kind of cute? It's kind of cute. And what I've found is that when I do that, I can actually sensitively attune to the energy of that space so that when I arrive, it actually feels familiar to me. Two, every night, pull my energy back from the places and people that I've visited or interacted with. So it's just a matter of, it's a meditative practice of closing the eyes and pulling your energy back. I like to give my energy a color, and I like to see all of that color returning to me in my energy field. And you don't need to be specific with this. You don't need to think about everywhere you went or every person you spoke to. It's just simply a beautiful overarching clarion call. Hey, I'm calling my energy back, just as you would like with a magnet. Number three, ensure that every single day I have alone time. Every single day, non-negotiable. I like that one a lot. Number four, ensure that I create space and room for my projects and what matters to me. So when I'm traveling, the worst thing that I can do is stop working. And I know that may sound crazy to you, but that is a shortcut to overwhelm and chaos for me. Few things make me feel as absolutely fulfilled as when I can be in a new country, in a new landscape, and just for 1 or 2 hours a day, open up my laptop and connect in with the energy and soul of my business. That feels like such a beautiful honoring. And of course, there are times where I will unplug completely, but oftentimes when I travel for 3 or 4, even 6 weeks at a time, It's just not going to happen that way. So creating that container where I can be with my business no matter where I am in the world is just a really beautiful act of self-care and business care. Number five is to create a buffer of time at the end of each trip so that I can rest and really regain my energy, plant it back down into the place that I call home. This is where the grounding foods help, the detoxifying sweat sessions, they really help, the rest, the ocean swims, the meditations, the integration. And I will quickly add here, it's very sweet. Hero tried to convince me that I should get a massage every second day as I travel. And that seemed outrageous to me. And so I bargained with her, you know, how about I just get one at every new location I land at? So we negotiated there. At the start of this year, I shared with all of you on the podcast that thriving whilst traveling was right at the top of my list of intentions, knowing what was awaiting me this year in 2019. Next up, next week, actually, I'm off to Europe for a month, business and pleasure. In September, I'm going to the USA. 3 weeks, business and pleasure. In October, New Zealand, business and team time. In November, 3 weeks, Guatemala and El Salvador, business, service and pleasure. So this has been a big, vast, global year for me. And what I've come to know is that that does not come without a cost if I don't stay sensitive and diligent. I know in my heart of hearts that travel is a desire of my soul. And I also know how important home is to my soul. And so, my friends, I do the dance. I traverse the earth in respect and awe of the people and the cultures I witness. I traverse the earth alongside my friends and my community, and I do it alone, softening. And I take care of my energy, fully aware of the price of merging my energies with all that I encounter. And so sovereignty remains paramount in my pursuit of adventure. And I always, always, always exhale so very sweetly when I slide that door open and breathe in the energy of the home I call my own. All of that, beautiful souls, the bigness of it and the sweet simplicity of it, that all sounds like bliss to me. So go out there and create what sounds like bliss to you. More of that, please. Hey you, have you ever given yourself permission? I'm talking real, radical, roof-raising permission. To desire and create a life comprised of your dreams. To serve in a way that is uniquely you. To find your people. To spend your time your way. And creating and circulating abundance by doing what you love. This is your invitation to take a seat at the table of Team Bliss. We're a cohort of resilient, thrifty, ambitious of mind, sprightly of heart women and men who are bold, visionary, and unbelievably motivated to create change. And our chosen vehicle for reaching and impacting the multitudes is doTERRA, one of the most integral and ethical brands on earth. Every day we empower humans with the natural solutions that essential oils provide, all whilst developing leadership in one another, guiding our communities to live debt-free lives, and teaching spiritual principles that create lives of absolute abundance and limitless choice, all whilst smelling like the heavens. Oh yes, jasmine essential oil will do that to you. To learn more and to join us on our mission, visit tarabliss.com.au/team-bliss. Also, you can check out episode 8 of this podcast on women's autonomy. Hey, beautiful, thank you for being here and tuning in today. I appreciate you, your presence, your ear holes, like you wouldn't believe. I appreciate your brain and your heart and your goosebumps and all of that. Gracias. If you found value in today's podcast, please subscribe, share this episode on your social feed of choice. Of course, you know I'm all about the gram. You can find me there at @Tara_bliss. Please tag me. Please let me know what this podcast made you feel, what it helped you to think about. Did you have any specific beautiful memories of traveling with friends or traveling solo? Do you have any practices that you love to implement so that you can take care of your energy as you travel? I would love to hear from you. If you're feeling particularly generous today, go ahead, leave me a review on iTunes. That helps me to get these sounds into even more eardrums. Thank you so much in advance for that. For show notes, resources, and updates on what I have on offer for you, because we're working on some stuff, you know, we really are. I mean, we're working on some stuff. I want you to come on over to tarabliss.com.au/episode 16. That's episode and then the number 16. And please subscribe to my notes. That will put you on my newsletter and it means that I can stay in contact with you regularly. Go on. Have a beautiful moment, will you? Right here, right now. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.